covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, and nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn down their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow our heart before you this evening, Father. We thank you, Lord, as we begin to have a brief introduction, Father, to the book of Judges, Father, as we study the judges of the nation of Israel. And, oh, Father, I pray as we look into these judges, Father, we'll see some things in our lives that we may not like, Father, that maybe replicate what the judges did or what the nation of Israel did. And I pray, Father, that might bring us to a point of repentance. But then, Father, and the cycle of the nation of Israel was caught up in, there was times, Father, when they served you. And perhaps, Father, as we look at some of those times and the judges of the nation of Israel, oh, that God, that you would really just give us a gladful heart, Father, knowing that we're doing what you have us to do. Father, save the lost that could be here this evening, Father. Challenge them according to your word. And I pray, Father, that no one will leave the building this evening without knowing Christ as their own personal Savior. So, Father, we do love you. We do thank you. Father, be a help to this preacher as I preach on the lives of Israel's judges. So, Father, we thank you and seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The commandments that are clearly given in these verses are crystal clear. Notice again in verse number 1, the Bible says they were to possess the land. Not just enter into the land, but possess the land. And again, there's a difference between entering in and possessing the land. And the second part of verse number 2, they would utterly destroy all the nations of Canaan. I don't know about you, but utterly destroy just means absolute destroy them. The third part of verse number 2 tells them to make no peace treaties with them. The fourth part of verse number 2 tells them to show them no mercy. And then in verse number 3, we find that God tells them, refuse to intermarry with them. Don't let your sons marry their daughters. Don't let their daughters marry your son. And he said, when you do that, there's going to be big problems for the nation of Israel. And then again in verse number 5, we find that God says this, to completely or utterly destroy every trace of those pagan religions. It didn't say just put up with it. It didn't say that just stand by and watch them as they do it. You don't do it. He said to utterly destroy every trace of that pagan religion. And that reminds me that after you and I become saved and born again, we ought to destroy every trace of the pagan religion and life that we have outside of Jesus Christ before we were saved. We ought to look at our life and say, that was before, but this is now. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ, and we ought to utterly destroy some of those things that we bring from our old life into the new life. As we go through this vicious cycle, the nation of Israel, as we look at the life of these judges, you'll come soon to understand that you might see this similar cycle of serving God and then falling away from God and then repenting and God sending judgment upon him. Repentance comes and again renewing that place with God, and that cycle goes over and over again. The reason that they were commanded to do this was because Israel was different from all the people of the world. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 6. I want to read that verse again because it's so important. The Bible says, this is God speaking to Israel, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself." Now notice how special he was. We oftentimes cry out and say, boy, you're special to me, and thank you, and you mean so much to me. But look how special and how chosen the nation of Israel was to God. He said, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. He says, listen, above the Hittites, above the Canaanites, above the Jebusites, above everybody else, he said, I have chosen you and called you to be my children among all the people of the earth. Literally, they've been chosen and called by God. God had saved them from the nation of Egypt. God blessed them and promised them victory if only they would walk with him. We'll not take time to go back and look, but if you're taking notes, right, Deuteronomy chapter number 6, I want you to go back and read those first couple of verses there in the chapter. You'll find what God, the expectation God had for the nation of Israel. And God demanded a total and a complete separation from among the people that was in Canaan land or in the promised land. And God didn't say go in there and just halfway live with them. He didn't go in there and say just kick them out of the way and make them move up to the mountains or make them move to the plains. He said, I want you to utterly destroy them. God expects a total and complete separation for his people. Oh, by the way, he expects the same for you and I as well. The problem with you and I is simply this, is that we try to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. Listen, that can't be. That can't be. And God expects a total surrender. God expects a total separation from the world. You say, what does that mean? I don't know what it means in your life, but I do. It means this. A lot of things that we as Christians perhaps do, we probably shouldn't be doing. You say, is it wrong to do it? Not necessarily so, but for testimony's sake. So I can't tell you what you should wear and what you should listen to, where you should go and where you shouldn't go, unless it's completely contrary or sin according to the word of God. But what I can tell you this is simply this. If you'll ask God, he'll let you know, amen. And there are just some simple things that you can do that will show that you live a separated life, separate from the world, and wholly set apart to God. That's what God expected out of the nation of Israel as they entered into and conquered that great land. So God knew that if he allowed the nation of Israel to be entangled with the Canaanites, he knew that they would become spiritually corrupt and they would fail to walk with God. You see, the old adage goes like this, one apple spoils a whole bunch, amen. And that's true. The other day, we had some fruit in my refrigerator. I don't know how long it's been there. It was in the very back of the drawer, and it must have been pretty bad. So there was just one orange I thought was bad, and I said, well, I'll just throw that one away. A couple days later, I went to go get the other one. Guess what? It already had crept over to the other two. I just didn't notice it, so the whole bag went by the wayside. And so I want you to understand this, that God knew that if he allowed the nation of Israel just to hang around in there and not utterly destroy them, not to get rid of all the idols and all the false gods, that they very soon would be serving those gods and they would fail to walk with God. Look in verse number 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 7. The Bible says, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. That's what happens when we have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. We eventually leave serving God and leave and to serve the God of this world. You know, we often say this, and the Bible teaches that we should not marry someone who is lost. If you're saved or born again and you're dating someone who is lost, you have to cut that off right now. You have to do that. God teaches us that we're not to marry a lost person. And so if the only reason we date is to find a mate, you shouldn't date someone that really should not be your mate. And so what happened usually is this, and your daughter will say, oh, daddy, he's not saved, but he's a good man. He comes to church on Sundays with us, but he's not saved, but he's a good man. He doesn't beat me. He works hard and pays his bills on time and he'll be all right. But you know what happens is eventually that daughter begins to turn away from God towards the things of the world. You see, well, you think, well, I can do it. I can win him to the Lord. Yes, win him to the Lord, then date him, then get married. Amen. Don't date him, get married, then try to win him to the Lord. Let me just say this, though. If you're here and you have married someone and you both were lost and you got married and you got saved and he hasn't, listen, that doesn't mean you need to get a divorce. That means you're to pray and keep asking God. You live a life that would be pleasing to God the Father, that he might see a difference in you. This difference is what the nation of Israel was to be to those false gods and the promised land. Well, then what happened? We see that God promised that he would visit them in their wrath. Look at the last part of verse number 4. So once they turned away from God, notice God's promise. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So we find that Israel had their instructions from God, but they failed to carry out the commands of God. It's pretty clear. And God didn't stutter. He didn't stumble. The words weren't mixed with big words we couldn't understand. He clearly told them exactly what he wanted them to do. And he said, if you'll follow me into the promised land and you'll do as I say, he said, I'll give you victory after victory after victory. Turn over now to the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 1. Joshua judges Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. And let's look at Judges chapter number 1. As we look at an introduction to this simple message this evening. Judges chapter number 1. Look at verses 19 down through verse number 1. We find contained in this passage, verses 19 through verse number 34, we find the record of the failure that's chronicled here in the book of Judges. Now, we'll not take, for the sake of time, to read all these, but we'll read a couple of them. Notice beginning in verse number 19. First of all, we see in verse number 19, we find that Judah failed. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. So you say, oh, that's good. He obeyed God. But then notice, but could not drive the inhabitants out of the valley because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb and Moses and said that he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. We find that Judah failed. Look at verse 21. We find the children of Benjamin failed. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. So we find again the nation of Israel was completely not doing what God had commanded them to do. In verses 22 and 26, we find Joseph failed. In verses chapter 27 and 28, we find Manasseh failed. In verse number 29, we find Ephraim failed. In verse number 30, we find Zebulun failed. And in verse number 33, we find that Naphtali failed. Dan failed in verse number 34. And the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe Manasseh failed in refusing to enter into Canaan and choosing to remain on the other side of Jordan. Remember that great story, don't you? They said, that's all right. You all go over there and do your fighting. We're going to stay over here. We like this side over here. They compromised. They said, well, this is good enough. It might have been good enough, but God had better for him on the other side. And so we find the leader said, okay, I'll tell you what. If you want to stay here, but when it comes time for the fighting, I want your word to come over and fight with us. And they said, yes, no problem. So we find that all of the tribes of Israel failed to do what God would have them to do. So I guess we could say the nation of Israel at this time was a loser of a nation. Israel's failure to defeat their enemies resulted in them living among their enemies. And after a while, guess what? You begin to live among your enemies. Guess what? After a while, you're going to start to be like your enemies. Then they're going to begin to adopt the wicked ways of the various Canaanite tribes that were around them. And eventually, the Bible says that the nation of Israel began to worship the false gods of Canaan. So we find this, it kind of reminds us of the story of Lot, doesn't it? That he just looked and then he pitched his tent, then he moved in there. Listen, the devil hasn't stopped working all the way back from the beginning of the Bible to where we're at here in the book of Judges. It doesn't change today as well. He'll cause you to look, he'll cause you to think, he'll cause you to lust, and next thing you know, you moved right in and doing what you're not supposed to be doing. So eventually the nation of Israel began to worship the false gods. And when they followed down this downward path, God allowed them to know that he was displeased with them, and his judgment came quickly and swiftly upon the nation. And when that judgment came, eventually the people really had a big light bulb moment, and they said, oh, we're in this trouble that we're being ransacked and we're not being able to eat and people overrunning us because we're not doing what God would have us to do. So then they would repent and they would seek the Lord. And when they did, God in his graciousness would forgive the nation of Israel. And guess what he did? He raised up a deliverer or a judge to lead the nation of Israel. And so these men and women helped Israel throw off the yoke of their oppressors from these nations that surrounded the nation of Israel. They also helped them to live for God. And typically, the nation of Israel, when God would raise up a judge, typically they would serve God all the years of the judge. But as soon as the judge passed on or passed away or moved on, guess what? They revert back to their wicked ways and the cycle would begin again. Until they come to the point of repentance, and God in his mercy would raise up another judge, and then they begin to love him and serve him. And this cycle for the nation of Israel continued for about 400 years until they got their very first king. And when they got their very first king, he wasn't a very good king at all, but that's a story for a different day. The book of Judges, as we think about, is very profitable for you and I today. You see, in its pages, we'll find that the nation of Israel faced many of the same problems that you and I face in the world today. They faced physical enemies, but yet so do you and I. We face physical enemies. They face problems from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And guess what? We saw from this morning's message, you and I do as well. So during this series, I want to share with you some lessons from the lies of Israel's judge. Understanding this, that I love to preach, and I love to teach, and I love to learn from biblical characters. And so this is really not going to be an expository series of messages from the book of Judges, literally going verse by verse. We're going to cover a lot of verses from the book of Judges. But what we will do, and I promise you this, it's going to be a study of the book of Judges through the eyes of the character of the nation of Israel's judges. And as we look at these men and women that God has used to deliver his people in those days, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will both bless us and God will speak to our hearts. As we close this evening, before we go into our ministry meeting, I want you to see that God is still looking for men and women and boys and girls that he can use today. Get this, though. God's no longer looking for judges because, Lord knows, there's enough judges around in the churches today, amen. But what God is looking for is not judges. He's looking for leaders. He's looking for men. He's looking for women that he can use to stem the tide of evil that really just seems sometimes to overtake churches in these dark and dreary days that you and I live in. He's looking for people who are willing to rise up and take their stand with God, take the stand on the Word of God. He's looking for people that he can use to change the world for the glory of God. Some of the people that God is looking for, no doubt, is sitting in these pews right now. No doubt they're listening to this sermon by the way of live streaming. They're listening to it by the way of a series that will be recorded for us on our website. And that's the kind of people that God uses. God uses ordinary people. He uses common people, men and women, to accomplish his purpose for the nation of Israel. He uses ordinary, common people today, people who are willing to be obedient to Christ and those who are willing to serve and surrender to him. I wonder this evening if that's the kind of people that you want to be. I know that's the kind of person that I want to be. That's the kind of pastor that I want to be. I want to be one that will be willing to rise up and take a stand on God and his word. I want to be one that can be used to change the world for the glory of God, to see lost sinners coming to know Christ as their Savior. And then I want to help stem the tide that's overtaking our nation, our homes, and our churches today. And I wonder this evening if you'd be willing tonight, at the start of this series, to save from the depths of your heart and your soul, God, I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to help stem the tide of evil. I want to rise up and take a stand on God and his word. I desire to want to be used to change the world for the glory of God. I hope you'll make that decision tonight as we begin to look into this series of the judges of the nation of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this introduction we had to the judges of the nation of Israel. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, as we begin to look at the judge next time, the first of the judges next time we meet, Father, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to be thinking on this thought of, is that the kind of Christian that I want to be? I pray, Father, that these people here, along with me, be willing, Father, to stem the tide of evil that seems to be overtaking our nation and our homes and our churches. Father, may they be the kind of people that would stand up on God and His Word and have a desire to change the world for the glory of God by winning men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. Father, have Your will and way during this invitation. Have Your will and way during this season as we look at these judges, the nation of Israel. And God, maybe there'll be times when we say, oh my. But maybe, Lord, there's some times when we can say, glory be. Father, whatever the case is, minister to hearts. Save that one that needs to be saved this very evening. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to